Chapter 25. Hiram had driven out the evil spirit from his home, but the mischief that it had brewed was done and could not be undone. The next day it was known that Sally Martin had run away from home, and that as he had run away with Levi West, old Billy Martin had been in town in the morning with his rifle, hunting for Levi and threatening, if he caught him, to have his life for leading his daughter astray. And, as the evil spirit had left Hiram's house, so had another, and a greater evil spirit quitted its harborage. It was heard from Indian River in a few days more that Blueskin had quitted the inlet, and had sailed away to the southeast, and it was reported, by those who seemed to know, that he had finally quitted those parts. It was well for himself that Blueskin left when he did, for not 3 days after he sailed away, the Scorpion sloop of war dropped anchor in Lewis Harbor. The New York agent of the unfortunate packet and a government commissioner had also come aboard the Scorpion. Without loss of time, the officer in command instituted a keen and searching examination that brought to light some singularly curious facts. It was found that a very friendly understanding must have existed for some time between the pirates and the people of Indian River, for, in the houses throughout that section, many things, some of considerable value, that had been taken by the pirates from the packet, were discovered and seized by the commissioner. Valuables of a suspicious nature had found their way even into the houses of Lewis itself. The whole neighborhood seemed to have become more or less tainted by the presence of the pirates. Even poor Hiram White did not escape the suspicions of having had dealings with them. Of course, the examiners were not slow in discovering that Levi West had been deeply concerned with Blueskin's doings. Old Dinah and Black Bob were examined, and not only did the story of Levi's two visitors come to light, but also the fact that Hiram was present, and with them, while they were in the house disposing of the captured goods to their agent. Of all that he had endured, nothing seemed to cut poor Hiram so deeply and keenly as these unjust suspicions. They seemed to bring the last bitter pang, hardest of all to bear. Levi had taken from him his father's love. He had driven him, if not to ruin, at least perilously close to it. He had run away with the girl he loved, and now, through him, even Hiram's good name was gone. Neither did the suspicions against him remain passive. They became active. Goldsmith's bills, to the amount of several thousand pounds, had been taken in the packet, and Hiram was examined with an almost inquisitorial closeness and strictness as to whether he had or had not knowledge of their whereabouts. Under his accumulated misfortunes, he grew not only more dull, more taciturn than ever, but gloomy, moody, brooding as well. For hours he would sit staring straight before him into the fire, without moving so much as a hair. One night, it was a bitterly cold night in February, with 3 inches of dry and gritty snow upon the ground, while Hiram sat thus brooding, there came, of a sudden, a soft tap upon the door. Low and hesitating as it was, Hiram started violently at the sound. He sat for a while, looking from right to left. Suddenly pushing back his chair, he arose, strode to the door, and flung it wide open. It was Sally Martin. Hiram stood for a while staring blankly at her. It was she who first spoke. "Won't you let me come in? I'm starved with the cold, and I'm fit to die, I'm so hungry. For God's sake, let me come in." "Yes," said Hiram, "I'll let you come in, but why don't you go home?" The poor girl was shivering and chattering with the cold. Now she began crying, wiping her eyes with the corner of a blanket in which her head and shoulders were wrapped. "I have been home, Hiram," she said, "but Dad, he shut the door in my face. He cursed me just awful. I wish I was dead." "You better come in," said Hiram. "It's no good standing out there in the cold." He stood aside and the girl entered, swiftly, gratefully. At Hiram's bidding, Black Dinah presently set some food before Sally and she fell to eating ravenously, almost ferociously. Meantime, while she ate, Hiram stood with his back to the fire, looking at her face, that face once so round and rosy, now thin, pinched, haggard. "Are you sick, Sally?" said he presently. "No," said she, "but I've had pretty hard times since I left home. I..." The tears sprang to her eyes at the recollection of her troubles, but she only wiped them hastily away with the back of her hand, without stopping in her eating. A long pause of dead silence followed. Dinah sat crouched together on a cricket at the other side of the hearth, listening with interest. Hiram did not seem to see her. "With Levi," said he at last, speaking abruptly, up furtively under her brows. "You needn't be afeard to tell," he added. "Yes," said she at last, "I did go off with him. I..." "Where have you been?" At the question, she suddenly laid down her knife and fork. "Don't you ask me that, I," said she, agitatedly, "I can't tell you that. You don't know Levi, Hiram. I darsn't tell you anything he don't want me to. If I told you where I been, he'd hunt me out, no matter where I was, and kill me. If you only knew what I know about him, Hiram, you wouldn't ask anything about him." Hiram stood looking broodingly at her for a long time, then at last he again spoke. "I thought a sight of you longed, Sally," said he. Sally did not answer immediately, but, after a while, she suddenly looked up. "Hiram," said she, "if I tell ye something, will you promise on your oath not to breathe a word to any living soul?" Hiram nodded. "Told he'll murder me as sure as you're standing there. Come nigher, I've got to whisper it." He leaned forward close to her where she sat. She looked swiftly from right to left, then raising her lips she breathed into his ear, "Colin, I'm an honest woman, I was married to Levi West, before I run away. The Book of Pirates,